It is 8:30 right now, 55 KRCD Talk Station. One of my favorite moments of the week. Time to introduce Judge Andrew Napolitano. Welcome back, Your Honor. It's always a distinct
Brian,
pleasure.
Brian, always a pleasure. Thank you very much. By the way, I wish I were 18 again. Ah! Wasn't yesterday a special day for you?
Yeah. Actually, that's hilarious you said 18. I had a friend of mine, they sent me a text, or you know how we all communicate by text these days. Anyway, happy birthday. Isn't this the big one? I turned 56 yesterday, Your Honor, and he thought I turned 60. So, you know.
Is he still your friend?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I just told him he was an idiot, and I want 4 years of my life back that he took away from me. Anyhow, but, yeah, it was. I had a wonderful day. So thank you very much for the well wishes.
Good. A belated happy birthday, my
thank
friend.
Thank you. As I always point out, I am a lucky individual for a whole lot of reasons, one of which is I get an early advance copy of your column that comes out every Thursday at midnight. And this one entitled Voluntary Servitude, asking the question, can the president use private businesses to enforce his largely unconstitutional dictates, doing indirectly what he cannot do legally?
In a word, no.
No. My libertarian friend,
and,
yes.
And you know what's interesting about this, and in doing the research for the piece, which I wrote yesterday, it turns out he hasn't even written the executive order yet, and OSHA, the Occupational Health and Safety Administration of the Department of Labor, therefore hasn't even issued the mandates yet.
Right.
Now, this undercuts his argument with the courts that he's exercising emergency power. Because if it were a true emergency, what has happened? What have they been doing in the past 2.5 weeks since he made that absurd announcement that this is not about your personal liberty or your personal choice?
And it is not an emergency, because the emergency idea under OSHA is that it's like, oh, my God, there's been a chemical release, or there's something that popped up in a work environment that needs to be addressed immediately, that there's no reg for. This has been around. This virus has been around for a year and a half or longer, and it's not going away.
And so, it's not going away because of the federal government. And people are making their own choices, and the federal government can't force people to make those choices. I've been vaccinated. You've been vaccinated. Almost everybody that I know has been. It's an individual choice. You want to get vaccinated, get vaccinated. You want to wear a mask, wear a mask. But keep the government off the backs of the people that choose not to. Because according to the Supreme Court, we own our own bodies, and we decide what goes in them.
Yeah, we had this conversation a little bit in the context of Roe v. Wade. And the one thing that you and I think agreed on in that decision is that at least the principle, the fundamental point that you have control over the destiny of your body, that's a sound principle. Now, that in fact, the failure of Roe v. Wade, of course, you and I would agree, is that, no, well, yeah, you may have control over your own body, but you're not going to kill the other human being that's living in it. That's their right and their choices. But, yeah, I mean, how can the left reconcile? And I hate that this whole vaccine thing has turned into a left-right argument. It seems should be apolitical. But that they can talk with just absolute conviction that you must do this and you must do it for your fellow man, and still harbor the notion under Roe v. Wade that, hey, my body, my choice.
You know, there's a tendency in almost everybody in government, liberals, conservatives, progressives, Republicans, Democrats, not libertarians, to tell other people how to live. And when you are possessed of that power and possessed of the belief that you know what's better for people than they do, you're willing to push that power to the limit. I don't want to say that all progressives are authoritarians. They're not. Many progressives agree with you and me on the personal use of drugs, on war and peace, and on civil liberties. But you give people governmental power and the opportunity to exercise it, and they will. That's why we have in this country Leviathan. Leviathan, a government continually growing, always expanding its power, recognizing no limitations on its power, refusing to abide the Constitution its officers have sworn to uphold. This is not just Joe Biden, and it wasn't just Donald Trump, and it wasn't just Barack Obama or George W. Bush. This is a tendency this is the lust for dominance that exists in almost everybody in government. not in Thomas Massie, not in Congressman, or former Congressman Ron Paul, but in almost everybody in government, no matter which party they're in.
Give them
an excuse, and the excuse is COVID, and they will lust for that dominance.
They're sociopaths. I mean, you know, boil it down to a character type, that seems to be what most people in government are.
Yes.
They believe they're right.
Even though I was a judge for 8 years, people used to say, you worked for the government? No. I worked for the Constitution. The government paid my salary.
Right.
As many times I told the government, no, you're not going to get away with that. Put aside me. There is this lust for dominance, and it always goes in the direction of telling people how to live and increasing the power of the government.
Amen.
If the world were run by the Thomas Massies of the world, they would have a lust for liberty, for keeping government off people's backs and letting them make their own free choices. And by the way, that's the government we all thought the framers gave
exactly.
us. But Leviathan, which has been growing since the days of Woodrow Wilson, roughly 100 years ago, has changed all that.
It certainly
and
has.
And Joe Biden just happens to be at the precipice of it now and is taking advantage of it now and is trying to increase the government a little bit more. And whoever succeeds him will try and increase it a little bit more. At some point, it'll collapse of its own weight. It won't be able to pay its bills. And the American Republic will break off into a dozen or so smaller independent republics. And if you're stuck holding a bond owned by the federal government, you're stuck.
Indeed. But don't you believe in some level that that is, in fact, the goal, that we are irredeemably terrible because we were born of original sin or whatever else you want to blame it on? The Constitution should be shredded to bring these sociopathic narcissists in power to dictate the terms and conditions of our lives. They'll run us bankrupt like every other. It's happened every other time the printing press is run with reckless abandon. Zimbabwe, the Weimar Republic, Venezuela, and the country will collapse. That seems to be the goal, like Phoenix rising from the ashes. They're going to get their socialist utopia growing.
Well, Jefferson argued that no government is legitimate without the consent of the governed, and he argued that that consent should be solicited once in every generation. Now, do you know anybody that has consented to the government? Do you know anybody living that has consented to the Constitution? Of course not.
Nope.
I don't know where or how this ends, but I do believe in the lifetime of the grandchildren of your and my generation, the federal government will collapse of its own weight. Unless there's some reversal, as my friend Jeff Deist of the Mises Institute likes to say, a soft secession, not the states literally, legally attempting to leave as they did right before the war between the states, but the states and the public just ignoring the
yes.
federal government when it is just so obviously outside the Constitution.
Well, that's the day I'm looking for, Your Honor. And, you know, we may be right there because Atlas will shrug at some point. And if we just if we collectively just laugh off these edicts and mandates, which you and I both know are fundamentally opposed to the Constitution, and we just say, no, we're not going to abide.
Right.
Now, turning this back to the original point of the conversation, because we can't. Biden says OSHA is going to issue this rule. It's going to apply to employers of more than 100 people, $14,000 a day for unvaccinated employees. They have to prove that in court. I mean, we're this constitutional. I don't know where the $14,000 came from other than Joe's sphincter or one of his puppet masters. But if I said prove it,
right.
You've accused me of a violation. It's time to rock and roll. Get your lawyer. I've got mine. This is going to be really, really expensive for the government to try to deal with.
So old Joe has really pointed his finger at the heart of what we're talking about. Why is he using private industry to enforce a government regulation? Because the government can't afford. The government doesn't have the money or the person power to enforce its own regulation.
Exactly. So if we all say to hell with it and go about our lives, there's not a damn thing anybody could do about it.
I'm waiting for a courageous small business owner who employs more than 100 people to say, stay the heck out of my business. I'm not answering your questionnaire. What are you going to do to me? My customers love me. My employees love me. I pay them well. They make a good product. We sell a good product. We pay our taxes. Leave us alone.
Amen. That's where we need to make a stand. Saying no to stupid. Judge Ana Napolitano, really appreciate it. You'll find his column tonight, Search for it. Easy to find. Just search Judge Ana Napolitano and voluntary servitude. Read it, love it, enjoy it. God bless you, Your Honor. I'm looking forward to next Wednesday already, as I always do. In between now and then, I wish you the best of health.
Thank you, Brian. All the best.
Take care. 8:40 right now.